Paul, a peacemaker. The Apostle Paul, a peacemaker. And just like Paul or any other human being, we've all gone through different phases in our lives. Even as children, and most of us were probably tagged this as we tag other little children, you know, when they reach the age of two, we call them the terrible twos because these children begin to get into everything and start looking, and they're adventurous, and they're wanting to know how everything works. And then we go from the terrible twos, and it seems like we go right into the rebellious teens. Now, I suspect none of you were a rebellious teen. I'll admit I probably was. But a phase in our life. And then we become a young adult in our 20s, trying to figure out life, trying to figure out what we want to do with our career. What are we going to do? We may start looking for someone we would like to settle down with and get married. So we continue to do that. And during that time, our parents and other family members may be wondering about us. Are we ever going to make anything of ourselves at all? We may have thought about that ourselves. But here we are today, 2016. Here we are today, a member of the Church of a Living Creator God, a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Life is amazing. Who would have ever thought in those days that we would be here? Now, if you grew up in the church, that's a little different. But for many of us who were called as young adults, older adults, we realize that we never had any intention on being here today, but here we are. God allows each one of us to make choices, just as he did Paul. Paul made choices, and God allows us to do the same. Some smart, some not so smart. We brag about the smart ones, we ignore the dumb ones, if we're smart. But thankfully, our God is a forgiving God. Helps us to grow from our mistakes, to learn from our mistakes. And once we experience, if we're smart, once we experience putting our finger into that fire and finding out that hurts, we don't do that again. Now, some slow learners, like somebody I won't mention, might do it two or three times just to make sure it hurt. Hurt every time. But we learn from things like that. We experience that pain, and we don't want to do that again. And the Bible is full of examples like that for our benefit, of people who put their hand in the fire, their finger into the fire, and found out it was hot, and it hurt. And we learn from their experiences that what they did doesn't work so well, and we don't do those things. And if we can take the lessons and learn from them, and put them into practice in our lives, we will grow spiritually, which is what we're here for, is to grow spiritually. One example of a lesson that we could all learn from and should all learn from is found in the book of Philemon. This is a letter written by Paul to a dear friend, asking him to stand up as a Christian and do something that he might find to be very difficult. But Paul was asking him to do it anyway. As a Christian, as a man of God, this is what you need to do. That coming from Paul, who wasn't always in a position as a church leader, serving God's people, who had a history that was pretty tainted, that didn't put him in the best light. And here we have that same man asking another man to do something that might be difficult. But we know the story of Paul and how he once was the man leading the persecution of God's people. He was there and he gave the go-ahead for the death of Stephen. They were waiting for his approval. He gave it. In Acts 8 and verse 3, it says, Paul made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Can you imagine that? Somebody coming in your home, dragging you off, your wife and your children, because of what you believe. And doing that, and feeling that they're doing what God wants done. So Paul not only persecuted Christians by dragging them off to prison, he okayed the death of Christians. Then we read in chapter 9 of Acts that everything concerning how Paul, or Saul, it was Saul back then, was to live the rest of his life, everything concerning his life changed. Something changed. Just like it did for you and I. Before God called us, we were living our lives one way. After God called us, something changed. Let's look at Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and in verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and in verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Paul went in to get the okay, to be able to do that, to be able to go and drag more men and women out of their homes and take them to prison. Because he felt that was what I needed to do. That's my calling. To rid the world of these crazy people. These Christians. And he set out to do that. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I've never met another person in the church that said their calling went like this one. And in verse 5, and he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. He got Paul's attention. Now he got our attention the same way. Not by knocking us to the ground or not by a bright light. But something clicked in our minds, in our way of thinking, that got our attention. And that's exactly what God wanted to do, was get our attention. And he did what he thought necessary to get it. Now, I don't know about you, but once God called me, and I begin to change, I begin to see things differently. My friends, my co-workers didn't know how to take that because they knew me. They knew how I talked. They knew how I acted. From some of the stories I'd said, they knew some of the things I had done. So all of a sudden they see a person changing. He's a little different. He doesn't talk like he used to. His interests are changing. But they're suspicious. Just like they were of Paul. Because people knew Paul. Knew his background. Knew what he did. They were very suspicious of him. Just some of you may experience that same thing. The people didn't really know what was going on with you because they saw changes. You didn't do some of the things you did before. In Acts 9 and verse 21, it said, "Then all who heard," all of these people who were hearing Paul, "all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And has come here for that purpose so he might bring them bound to the chief priests?'" Paul's changed tactics now, but it's still a tactic. What he's doing is trying to get on our good side so he can set us up to be taken bound and gagged to prison. They didn't trust him because they knew him. They knew his former life. He had not earned their trust. In verse 26 of Acts 9, verse 26, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples." He thought, "Well, you know what? I'll go join these guys that were with Christ. Everything will be good. These guys will get me." Forgetting that these guys had heard about him too and what he was doing. In verse 26, he said, "When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him." You would have thought, he would have thought about that. They were all afraid because they knew his reputation and did not believe that he was a disciple. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe that he was a changed man. But we, like Saul, during the time since God called us, we have increased in the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have gained that knowledge through study, through prayer, through fellowship. We have increased that knowledge just as Paul did. Once God has his attention, his life changed. Once God got our attention, our lives changed. Saul, or Paul as he was later called, and that's the name that we're more familiar with, wrote a letter. And he wrote this letter during a time that he himself was put in prison because of what he taught and what he believed. Talk about the tables turning. But I bet Paul understood the damage that he had done persecuting Christians when he himself turned out to be persecuted as a Christian. But while he was in prison, being held there, he wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to Philemon. And we know by what was in this letter how much Paul had truly changed. Because before he would have been persecuting or killing a Christian like Philemon, he wouldn't have had any relationship with him at all other than that. But the love he has for God is the love that both Paul and Philemon now as Christians had for God's people brought them together. And the reason for this letter is to ask Philemon a favor. To do something as a Christian, as a changed man. Paul is asking him to do something. So you have these people. You have Paul, who was anything but a Christian, now going to his brother and asking his brother for something that will benefit another brother in Christ. How things changed. Paul became a peacemaker between Christians instead of killing them or putting them in prison. He was bringing them together. all because of his calling and how God had worked in his life to change the way he thought, to change the way he dealt with people, how he saw things, and his whole purpose for living. Onesimus was a slave. One day he took it upon himself to run away. But before he ran away, he stole from his master, Philemon. And he ran. He ran towards Rome. And on his way, he would inquire and seek counsel from people, trying to figure out what he should do. And he ran into one person who directed him toward the Apostle Paul. You need to go talk with Paul. You need to counsel with him. He can help you. And during this time with Paul, Onesimus became a Christian, as we did. He was called, he repented, he was baptized, he became part of the body of Christ. And he served God's people. He served God's church. So Paul was writing this letter back to his friend Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. Appealing to him as a Christian to do something. Let's turn to the book of Philemon, if you would. We'll begin in verse 1, Philemon, just the one chapter, so we'll begin in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. So Paul was a prisoner. He was in prison, but he mentioned here that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ, as we are. We've given our lives over to Christ. We're a prisoner to his truth. Then he goes on to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. And this could indicate that Philemon was an elder in the church. Not sure, but he was a leader in the church. And as Paul called him, a fellow laborer, doing God's work. Paul also sends greetings to a couple other people there in the church, other church leaders, and also to the congregation that meet in Philemon's home. He says in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a representative of Jesus Christ, Paul writes this letter to Philemon. And he says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, letting him know you're on my mind. I appreciate so much what you do to serve God's people and God's church, and I pray for you. I pray for strength. I pray for safety. I pray that you'll continue to grow spiritually. I pray for you. And in verse 5, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. He had a reputation. Philemon had a reputation of being a man of God. By the way he lived his life, by how he served others. And Paul compliments him on his strong faith and on his strong relationship with God and other members of the church. In verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Again, what was in his heart? What he projected as a Christian, serving God, always having that in the forefront of his mind, that because of his dedication and good works, through his faith, people wanted to know more about him. People wanted to be around him. What's different about this person? This man is a good man. He serves others. He does good things. We want to know more about him. They saw his example. And Paul was letting him know, I've heard that about you. I appreciate that about you. And in verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Letting him know what you do is appreciated. And Paul wanted Philemon to know how thankful he and others were for his service, continued service to them on behalf of Jesus Christ. And in verse 8, things change up a little bit here in verse 8. Paul begins, therefore. Now Paul has been positive, been very positive about all of the things he has said about Philemon and all that he does, and letting him know that he's very proud of him and that he does a great job. But then he goes in verse 8 and he says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting. Paul was saying, you know, because everybody recognized Paul was an apostle. And Paul had authority in the church. And he could have said, this is what I want you to do, period. This is how I want you to do it, period. Do it, period. But Paul didn't approach it that way. That was the old Paul. He didn't approach it that way. In verse 9, yet for love's sake, because that was what was motivating Paul, love for Onesimus and love for Philemon. That's what was motivating this whole thing. Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, as a fellow Christian, as a fellow member of the body of our Lord and Savior. I want to appeal to you to do this for me, to help me out here. Let's talk about this. And in verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. And Paul was letting him know they had a relationship, that Onesimus had become a Christian through Paul's teaching, through Paul's counseling. And through his tutor, Onesimus had become a Christian, giving his life over to God. Who once, Paul shares with Philemon, I know the background here. I know who this guy is. And he says in verse 11, who once was unprofitable to you, who once caused you grief, who once stole from you, who once ran away from you, caused you some big problems. I understand that. I know where he's been. But now, he goes on to say, is profitable to you and to me. He's a changed man, just as you and I are changed. He's not the same man you knew. So in verse 12, he says, I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. I'm pleading with you. I'm sending him back. Please receive him and welcome him as a brother in Christ. That's my heart's desire. Paul wasn't using his authority. He was pleading with a brother. And in verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. And Paul, it would have been much easier for Paul to keep him there. I'll just keep him here. He helps. He serves the brethren. He does good. He comes to visit me in prison. Well, it's good to have him here. But Paul knew that wasn't what needed to be done. And in verse 14, but without your consent, again, Paul taking Philemon's feelings into consideration, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. I was not going to do anything. I wasn't going to force anything on you. Wasn't just going to send me back and tell you that's the way it is. Too bad. Paul wasn't going to do that. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. I don't want to force you to do anything. I don't want you to appear to be a Christian. I want you to be a Christian from your heart. Don't do it for me. Do it for you. Do it because it's the right thing to do. Welcome this man back and forgive him because you are a Christian, because that's what's in your heart, not because I ask you to do it. In verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. You know, God called us all in our own way, as he called Paul, as he called everyone. God calls us in his own way. He called Onesimus in his own way. And maybe he couldn't reach him as he was a slave. Maybe he had to be in a certain situation. I don't know. But God did reach him. And verse 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He is now our brother, a brother in Jesus Christ. He's a Christian. He lives for the same reason we live, and that's to please God, to love our neighbor. But what's amazing to me through this whole thing is Onesimus changed, Philemon changed, but look how much Paul changed from where he was. And he's the one steering and guiding all of this, bringing these people together to forgive one another and to welcome one another. It's amazing how God works in people's lives and takes them from point A to point B, and you don't recognize that person. And only God can do that. Who else could have turned Paul into this person he is here, other than God? In verse 17, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. Paul's saying, you know, you receive Onesimus as you would me. Welcome him as you would welcome me. There's no difference. We're both children of God. We're both Christians. We're the same. Welcome us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Just some verses here that help us to understand this a little better, I think, what Paul was looking at, what he was saying. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if Paul isn't a witness for that and proof of that, nothing is. His mind was transformed and renewed. And in verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Paul understood that, and that's what he was saying. There's no great standout in the church of God. God has called us all for a purpose. He's brought us all to the knowledge of His truth for a purpose. To preach the gospel. To be prepared to meet Jesus Christ and to bring that gospel, that truth to the world. In verse 18, but if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I'm good for it, Paul says. You don't have to worry about that. If he's cost you anything or anything needs to be replaced, I'm good for it. I'll take care of that. That's how much love Paul had for Onesimus. He knew him. He knew he was a converted man. Paul had grown to love him as he loved Philemon. And he was standing good for any debt that Onesimus had with Philemon. In verse 19, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. He repeats it. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. So Paul was kind of throwing that in. You know, I spent a lot of time with you. I tutored you. I helped you. But, you know, remember that? Trying to get him to think, yeah, you know, I'm here because others helped. I'm here because others helped me to understand the gospel, to understand God's truth. People helped me to get through and understand these scriptures and what God is saying. They helped me to understand how I pray, how to have that relationship with God. And Paul was just reminding him, you know, I was there for you. And in verse 20, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Let's do this thing. Let's be together. Onesimus needs to come back home to be there with you. And you need to welcome him back. That's what brings joy. And I'm sure it brings joy to God when we, as members of the body of Jesus Christ, when we support each other, when we lift each other up, when we pray for one another and help each other and forgive one another. I'm sure that brings a lot of joy to God the Father and Jesus Christ. And in verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you. I know you're a man of God. I don't even question that. I know you love God and obey God. But I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Philemon's going to take this request that Paul has, and he's going to make it happen. He's going to do whatever he needs to do to welcome this man back and to forgive him. And to move on. Like Paul says, I know you'll do more than I've even asked you to do. Because I know who you are. I know your heart. I know how you think. I know that you're committed to doing God's work. So I know that what I've asked you to do, even more will be done. And in verse 22, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me. I can imagine Paul's working all of this out. And do you think he wanted to be there when those guys came together? To see them walk up and hug one another? And Paul knew he was going to miss that because he's in prison. So he was looking at this and, you know, how bad did he want to be there to see that? But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me. Paul saying, for I trust that through your prayers, because I know you pray for me, I shall be granted to you. I know through your prayers I'll be out of prison. I'll be able to be there. Sometime. But all of this Paul did after his conversion. Bringing these two people together. A lot of work. But I'm sure it's heartfelt work that Paul loved to do. And was seeing the fruits of this come together. What an amazing, amazing change from Paul, from being the persecutor of God's people to being the peacemaker for God's people. God can change Paul. God certainly can change us. We aren't the same people we were when we were called. Even if we grew up in the church, we're not the same people as we were when we were little people in the church. God changes us. He molds us and takes us and helps us to grow and to see things differently as Paul did. To begin to understand and see the deep things of God. What's important? Bringing these two people together. As two brothers in the body of Jesus Christ. What a role change. But what an example for us. So we can never say, well, I can't do that. I can't change. Paul did. Paul changed big time. And so can we. And many of us have. So it gives us an example to look forward to and so many more examples in Scripture. But this one is just so amazing because these three men, who at one time in their lives were all one way, ended up all together the same as children of God. And God did that through His calling, through conversion. God did that. What a change. Look forward to that change. And I appreciate the changes God has helped me to see that needed to be done in my life and continue the changes that need to continue on. And I hope we all do. Because as Paul changed, Paul couldn't have been in the church of God. Paul would have never done what he did had he not changed. Never in a million years. He would have continued on persecuting God's people up to the day he died. But because of that miracle, that calling, and being able to understand that God was working with him and changing him and giving him a loving heart instead of a hateful heart, and then to see him and all that he did, all the responsibilities he had, and he's in prison, and if I was in prison, I'd be in a corner whining like a baby. Poor me. But Paul, worried about other people. Putting these two guys together. Healing their hearts. Healing that relationship. So it just goes to show us again, too, what an amazing God we have. But what an example of Paul. From a murderer to a peacemaker, all because of the calling and all because of God being involved in his life. We've all made changes and will continue to make more changes as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of God's truth. And what an amazing ride we're on. Who would have thought we would have been here? I look back as a teenager. Not in a million years, not in a million years would I have thought this. And I'm sure you, many of you say the same thing. So we're here by the grace of God. Paul did what he did by the grace of God. And what a lesson we can learn from him. So we can draw courage, we can draw strength from Paul's life and from the example that he, along with many others that we read about in the Bible, those examples that we can learn from. We can be a peacemaker. We should be a peacemaker as we grow to love each other more and more, as we grow to love God and Christ more.